You're listening to Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike on Healthy Talk. Call or email to ask your questions now. Email askdrmikesmith at radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
So answering the first question that I have today, I mean, I could do a whole hour show on this. I could do a whole week's worth of shows on this. And it's just so important. So I'm going to do my best to answer this question and be thorough about it. The question is simple. How important is magnesium to a diabetes protocol? Well, the simple answer, and we could just end right here, would be very. That's it. Take magnesium. But I want to go ahead and get into some of the science a little bit. I'm going to look back and present to my listeners a study in, I think it was 2003. Yeah, 2003 in Diabetes Care. It's one of the first studies that really looked at magnesium and a lot of the diabetic measurements that we look at as doctors and the improvements there. And then there was just a recent one late last year that came out, also showing, kind of confirming that earlier study. But let's not forget. I mean, magnesium, it's critical. I mean, it's involved. It depends on who you read on this, but some people claim, some physiologists claim that it's involved with over like 1,000 metabolic reactions in the body. Some say 350. You know, whatever. Magnesium is critical. It's critical for highly metabolic electrochemical cells, meaning nerve cells, brain cells, muscle cells, which obviously means your heart, gut. Your gut cells are highly metabolically active. So all of those types of cells that are constantly turning over, contracting, firing electrical impulses, digesting food. I mean, cells that need a lot of energy, that have to manage energy well, they all require lots and lots of magnesium. And when you look at a lot of the age-related disorders that we deal with today, diabetes, right? Neuromuscular problems, brain disorders, heart disease, even cancers. When you look at all of them, there's an interesting correlation. As we have confirmed now through the USDA, starting probably in the 70s or 80s, there was a sharp drop in Americans who had adequate magnesium levels. There was a sharp drop, and that has been sustained through the 70s, 80s, 90s. We are, as a country, and I'm just speaking about the United States right now, but we as a country have a populace that it's an epidemic. We are deficient in magnesium. There's different theories of why this is. I think it's pretty simple. For me, it goes back to soil conditions. The soils in the United States haven't been very healthy for many decades now. And when you have unhealthy soils, you lose the ability of the soils to hold on to the minerals. The minerals get leached very easy just with one rainstorm. So we have soil conditions that are mineral deficient, including magnesium, which means the food sources are mineral depleted, including magnesium. So to me, it goes back to just growing and cultivating and farming healthy food from healthy soil. And that to me is the main reason. But we're low in magnesium, and there's this nice correlation with blood pressure, heart disease, cancers. I mean, you have to be careful. It's not cause effect. I'm not saying that, but there's definitely this correlation between loss of magnesium and age-related disorders. And we know, by the way, if you give people magnesium, they do better in a lot of these conditions. It doesn't necessarily always treat the condition, but some of the things we look at as doctors improve. And let's just go right to the question. How important is magnesium to a diabetes protocol? As I said, very. Let me just show you this. If you improve magnesium levels in a diabetic or a pre-diabetic or somebody at risk for diabetes, all of the things we look at, blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, insulin resistance, all of these things improve when you improve or even just correct a magnesium deficiency. So this first study was published in Diabetes Care 2003. This was a study that was looking to determine whether oral magnesium supplement improves both insulin sensitivity and metabolic control in type 2 diabetic subjects with decreased serum magnesium levels. So they found diabetics, type 2 diabetics with low magnesium. That's who was brought into the study. This was a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial, 63 subjects who had type 2 diabetes, decreased serum magnesium levels, and they were on a sulfonylurea. Back in the early 2000s, that's pretty much what we used. Metformin was around, but it wasn't as popular as it is today. They were all on a classic sulfonylurea to treat diabetes called Glynase. It's not really used that much anymore today. But so you had 63 diabetics on a drug, very common drug back then, and they all had low magnesium levels. They then split the groups up. Half of them received a solution of magnesium chloride and the other half a placebo for 16 weeks. Not only did they look at all the basic things like, you know, blood sugar levels, hemoglobin A1C, they also did a very standard model, measurement model for insulin resistance called HOMAIR. H-O-M-A-I-R stands for Homeostasis Model Assessment for Insulin Resistance. Very classic model for measuring insulin sensitivity. The results, clear cut. At the end of the study, subjects who received magnesium supplementation showed significant higher serum magnesium concentration. You would expect that. So their magnesium levels went up. They took the magnesium solution. Magnesium levels went up. That's the first thing they had to make sure that was happening. So magnesium levels improved in those taking the solution, right? The placebo group, magnesium levels stayed low. As magnesium levels went up in this study, there was an improvement in the insulin resistance measurement. There was a significant improvement in fasting. And all these results are significant, meaning statistically significant. There was an improvement in insulin resistance, fasting glucose levels, and hemoglobin A1C. Everything improved across the board significantly, and the only difference was improving magnesium levels. I mean, awesome. I don't know. Now, of course, but at magnesium didn't become a standard treatment for diabetics at that point, right? In 2003, I was a young practicing physician at that point. We weren't, talking about magnesium. And you have to ask the question, why? I mean, what's going on? Well, I mean, the argument would be, oh, just 63 people. It's a small study. It's interesting. It's hypothesis generating, blah, 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 blah. You know, at some point, we got to start taking what we're finding in clinical research and start applying that to everyday practice. We have to start doing that quicker and sooner, especially with something as simple as magnesium. They conclude it, oral supplementation with magnesium restores serum magnesium levels, good. It improves insulin sensitivity, good. And it improves metabolic control in type 2 diabetics. That was the conclusion of a really well-designed, straightforward study. You improve magnesium levels, all of these basic parameters we look at, the main ones, insulin sensitivity, glucose levels, hemoglobin A1C, all improved across the board. And then this most recent one was published in the Journal of Human Nutrition and Food Science, and it basically just did the same thing. It was a review. Since 2003, there've been repeated studies of this one in Diabetes Care, several of them actually, and they looked at those. They went back and they looked at all these similar studies from, you know, basically 2003 up to the current date, and they all have the same conclusions. Low magnesium is bad for diabetics. Improving magnesium level, giving people magnesium, improves all the parameters we look at in a diabetic. So if you're a diabetic, pre-diabetic, or you're at risk, you have to be taking at least 500 milligrams of magnesium every day. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.